Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And with your spirit.
You know, one of the beautiful things that I want you to pray for is to always enjoy what you're doing. Whether you're at home or at work or on retreat. Because I find a lot of times folks always want to check out. Right? Like I'm on retreat, I got to check out and be home. Or I'm at home, I want to check out and be on retreat. And it's a sign of a lack of interior peace. I'm not saying you're not thinking about where do I go from here or whatever, right? But there's something to that. Does that make sense? And Satan is always trying to say, come on, let's not be here because you've got to think about being here. You know, it's like eating breakfast and thinking about dinner. What are you doing? It makes no sense. Just be present, right? And in my experience, or when I notice these things in my heart, I say to myself, I'm avoiding intimacy in that moment. The moment that God is in that moment. And so I'm going to kind of pull out or pull back. And so I'm just going to go from place to place as opposed to person, okay? So kind of at this moment, you just have to kind of ask the Lord, I'm just going to be at the liturgy, have lunch. I got to leave early, that's fine, but I don't want to leave early on my terms. I want to leave on God's terms, okay? So let us acknowledge our sins, ladies, the times that we've offended God, the times we've avoided the intimacy with the Lord, and ask for his forgiveness. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and the saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray. O God, who teach us that you abide in hearts that are just and true, grant that we may be so fashioned by your grace as to become a dwelling place pleasing to you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. The Pharisees came forward and began to argue with Jesus, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. He sighed from the depths of his spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Amen, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation." Then he left them, got into the boat again and went off to the other shore. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I was telling the parish last week that I had a string of funerals. There was like 8 or 9 in like 12 working days or something like that. I don't work Saturday and Sunday, so I consider those like. And I got called to do a funeral for the Missionaries of Charity. So I finished the funeral, and I talked to the superior, and I said, "Sister, anything you need, just give me a call." She's like, "Well, another resident just died." So I'm like, "All right, do you want me to do the funeral?" She said, "Yes." So then I did the second funeral, and at the end of the second funeral, I made the same mistake as I did at the end of the first funeral. And I said, "Sister, if you need anything, let me know. Father, another resident just died." So I stopped asking if there were anything I could do, because it always a sign that something that happened, right? But in talking to her, I said, how is mother's canonization going? And she said, Father, it's the most interesting thing. The poor, and they say it with such love, the poor are talking about the miracles they're receiving. The problem is, there's no medical evidence. They were sick, they had cancer, but they didn't have the sufficient biological medical backup prior to going to visit Mother's tomb or prior to asking to putting a relic of Mother Teresa upon them. There's no evidence. But the poor in Calcutta are talking about all the miracles that Mother is doing for them. And Sister and I got in a conversation. She said, Father, it's perfect. Mother wanted her work to go unnoticed. She wanted her work to just take place without anybody recognizing it. It's interesting to note, with that in mind, you know, what would be the signs of a person that's canonized, right? The miracles. And yet there's no way to prove the miracles that are taking place through the intercession of Mother. I myself have absolutely seen invoking Mother Teresa and the authority of grace, of healing that comes with invoking Mother. I think it's maybe that I've known her personally, and so there's this communion that I have with her. But I also have noticed by invoking her for healing or graces, I've seen beautiful things. You know, sometimes the miracles take place in our lives, but there's no medical evidence. There's nothing to back it up. And yet we know in the poverty of our hearts that something has taken place. Sometimes the signs we look for are exterior manifestations, right? We want those signs. But sometimes signs can take place without them even really taking place and hidden in the depths of a person's life. You know, one of the things I always pray for is like to have that like facial joy, you know, like, oh, like be smiley. Well, I'm never going to be like that, thank God. And people are like, why don't you smile more? I say, because I'm too tired. That's why. And yet, it's so funny because what I find in my heart is a sign of joy even more in going to the hospital or going to the bedside of sick folks. Or I know that that is within me. Like, I have a real passion for that. I don't want to deal with buildings. I want to go help people heal. That's all I want to do. And that's my whole purpose. And I know that the sign that's taking place within me may not be manifest to you. But I know that God is doing the work of conversion within me. In the gospel today, they wanted a sign, something exterior. Is it possible that some of the things that God wants to do in our lives is very much deeply, deeply hidden even from our own eyes, that some of you don't even see it? And maybe that's a blessing. Because if you saw it, you would say, well, I'm almost there. I got it down, Lord. But maybe the Lord is actually working and you're responding and it's just not clear yet what the exterior presentation or manifestation is. But I'll tell you something that happens. What you begin to experience is actually a passion for to do what God wants you to do. It doesn't mean you don't struggle with sin or temptation. But what it means is that you're actually saying, I know what gives my heart joy. I know what's a consolation to me. And that consolation, that healing for me, is actually what drives me in my life. I'm going to encourage you to find out what drives you. What is it that drives you in your life? Because when you know that, then that will be the sign, because that will begin to grow in you, and you will see that it's not you that's doing it, but God is doing it in you. So the very thing that is your strength, that you say, this is me, actually loses its identity of mine and becomes his. Are you with me on that? So the thing that I love the most is going to pray with folks or anything that involves liberation or healing. And I'm like, wow, look at what I like. And as God begins to work in me, it's actually less of me and more of God, but God has to do it in the thing that I get the greatest joy from, so I don't claim ownership of that. So I want you to begin to find out, what is it that you love to do? Okay? And when you begin to know that, then God actually begins to work very beautifully through there if you give God the permission. And that will be the sign to you that conversion is taking place in your life. You may never see, Father Dan, oh, I love going to the hospital. But I know when I'm going there that there is a deeper passion in me to bring Christ to that person. And I then can say, I understand what God is doing within me. And I begin to get the sign that God is actually proclaiming the gospel within my own heart. So, two things I'm going to challenge you to do. Number one, I'm going to ask you to persevere, as St. James said today, that your perseverance must be perfect. You will probably be doing a lot of things that involve too much of you. Less of you and more of the Lord. Less of you. Because when it involves less of you, and I don't want you to walk around saying, "Not, you know, I don't want to think about me. I'm not thinking about me. I'm not thinking about me." Okay? Because that might not work. Right? I'm not thinking about me, Father. I swear I'm not. I'm not thinking about me. What I want you to walk around and saying is, okay, Lord, I want to know, where is it that you get the greatest joy in me? So many folks don't know that. I mean, I'm really convinced that the Lord says, my greatest joy in you is when we heal people together. But it's his work. All I got to do is provide the hands, right? And I get a real clarity on that. And what is it? Well, that means that I've gotten boring appointments. I'm waiting until something at night for healing or something to pray over. Can I can say, wow, this is what is grace. So where does the Lord get the greatest joy in you? Right? You must know that. It might be your vocation. It might be an aspect of your vocation. It might be something really intangible. Because what will happen is when you know that, then you've got to make an effort to let those things be regularly present in your life, so that you can begin to allow those things to remind you of the joy that God has in you. So if I were to take that way of like praying over folks, if I were to just take that all away or going to the hospital or whatever, and I'm like, well, I'm just going to be like the guy that does building stuff, like the priest guy that administrates. I can tell you at the end of a couple of weeks or months or maybe even an hour, I'm going to be sad in my relationship with Christ. And I'll be living in that sadness. And you know, then I'm going to look to drink or look to find consolation or look to whatever. I'm going to have a little pity party. Okay? So when I was praying about this morning, and I was thinking, where, Lord, do I get the consolation? If you know that, everything changes. Everything. And this is the grace, is that you then really don't tire of that gift, but that gift begins to animate all of the other things in your life. And that animation, that grace, is what helps you through the struggles. So if I don't do any of the things I like to do, meaning ministry-wise, and all I do is administrivia, and that's my life, and all of a sudden I get sick, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to drag my cross. And I'm going to feel sorry. My sense is that a lot of people don't know what the Lord rejoices in them in. So the concept of sacrifice or relational joy to Christ is so foreign to them that they don't have any idea. They just go through life. And I'm not talking about doing something. I want it to be relational. Well, I enjoy cooking. That doesn't necessarily mean it's in communion with Christ. I'm talking about what do the Lord and I do together that involves a relationship. Okay? If you don't know, start with asking yourself, where do I have joy in my life? Where do I have joy? Okay? And then, when that joy is present, then there's going to be a great freedom in what you do. All right? So, like, if Therese says, oh, I just love, there's a great joy in playing music, and I do that with the Lord, and we're in communion. Some of the stuff, struggles she's going to do with the day-to-day, is going to be animated by, I can't wait to play at this retreat, and that's going to build me up, and it's also going to animate me. But Therese can't say, well, I only like to do retreats with Father Dan, because then it becomes, you know, all about you. Okay? I don't say, I just want to heal at St. Andrew's. I want to say, Lord, this is a gift for you, and it's really inconvenient, and I'm grateful for it, but I know that it's a gift, and so I'm just going to put it before you, and if somebody calls me, I'm going to make time for them. And I don't make it just about my boxed-in area that's comfortable, but I put it before the Lord. Do you get that, everybody? It's very important because this is the game changer. And I think that's the sign that I felt in my heart today as I was praying. What is the sign that I'm looking for? The sign is, where do I have the joy of the gospel in my life? Okay? And that means all the more reason, I'm going to close, that you have to protect that. Because that's the area, that's the very area that Satan is going to try to mock and tear apart. Okay? That's the very area he's going to say, let's ruin that. Because that is what animates his identity as a son or a daughter of God. Okay? Does everybody get that? Does anybody not get it? Okay? That, then, ladies, I think actually everything, every decision is made from that place of consolation. Okay? It's made from that. All right? Otherwise, you're making decisions that are based on the turbulence. You're making decisions on stuff you don't really like. And I think that's why we make poor decisions. Because I don't know where I get the consolation. And I, you know, you just got to say, okay, Lord, this is where it is. And then he'll take care of all the little stuff. Thank God. He'll tell people to sit down. He'll put them in 50s and 100s. He'll do that. So I just pray that you can find this in your heart, all right? It may change, but it's something that is very, very beautiful just to you and the Lord, okay? It's something very, very beautiful to you and the Lord. And it's what, just you say, man, Lord, this is where I know you are present to me. Now, if I don't do these things, like let's use the healing, should you be surprised that there's no signs of the manifestation of the kingdom of God in my life? Of course not. I mean, I can just say, I'm not doing it. Hands in the pockets. I'm not doing it. And sometimes we can get like that. We can get really adamant. But I encourage you, step into the heart, into your heart, and say, Lord, where do I have consolation and joy with you? Where do you get the greatest joy in me? And I believe then you will find the very thing that should guide you in all of your decisions. So let's pray that we can know what that is, okay? I thought down the line, let's say I couldn't do that. I think the Lord would give something else for me to do. Say I was incapacitated. Well, I think I would still love healing, but I probably wouldn't. Maybe I wouldn't be able to touch people, but I could pray with them over the phone. Or I could bless a picture, whatever. You know? I think that's how God may work, you know? So let's pray for that clarity, that we can know what it is that God wants, where he wants to share the joy. And that's the sign of his presence in our life. Please stand. We'll offer some petitions, okay, for the church and all who serve in the church. Oh, Lord, help us to be witnesses of your love and your mercy, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
O Lord, to know that which gives us the greatest joy, that which gives us the greatest consolation, and to actively seek to encounter you in those moments, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for any women who feel unloved in an area in their lives, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to bring the light of your love there, and that you console them with the joy that they are daughters of a loving Father. We pray to the Lord. God, our Father, hear these prayers and all of our prayers. And we ask them through Our Lady's intercession as we pray together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen.